Thank you, Pastor Josh. Thank you, kids. And way back, this is more than 30 years ago, I think it is. And way back in 1983, he not only likes hugs, he's dyslexic too. So in 1983, a songwriter named Gary Portnoy wrote a classic TV sitcom theme song, 1983. So I'm setting you up here, be thinking. 25 years later, Rolling Stone magazine had a readers' poll which voted this particular theme song the very best television theme song of all times. So two questions. What was the TV show, and if you've got that, what was the theme song? 1983, those of you who were around watching television back then. The show, sitcom, Cheers. It's right over here. You got it. First try, I took two tries last night. So what was the theme song? Where everybody knows, these guys are the TV watchers over here, so yeah. Where everybody knows your name, right? I won't sing it for you, but here's the first line. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries, it sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. They're always glad you came. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Last week, Pastor Josh started us out on this brief series called Breathe, where we're talking about the Sabbath and sharing about what Sabbath is and how it works in our lives. And first of all, Josh said, we have to find our own Sabbath. God commands it because it's a blessing for us. It's not for God, it's for us. It's for you and me, God's children. Find your own Sabbath. Second thing, make sure that your Sabbath is holy rest, with the emphasis on the holy part. Focus on what God is doing in your life, what God wants perhaps to do in your life. The third thing is, don't make Sabbath a chore. It's not something to do, it's a gift which you get to do. You receive it. Josh talked about the example of Jesus and his disciples. They were hungry one time at the Sabbath, and they were picking grain, heads of grain in the fields as they were walking along, just having a little snack in between meals. And he got called on that by the experts at the time. And Jesus said, you know, Sabbath is made for man. It's made for people, not people for the Sabbath. What's going to bring you grace in observing the Sabbath? How can you use the gift of Sabbath that God gives so it's a blessing for you in your life? Well, today we're talking about nurturing places of peace. Where do you go? What's that place that you can get recreated or refreshed or perhaps reconnected with God in your life? How is God present for you in that place? What maybe is holy about that place? How does God provide nurture and life, new life, and especially hope for you in that place so that you can be renewed? I'm a person that's very much influenced by my environment, and there are places that I like to go to feel spiritually refreshed and spiritually renewed and energized. Some places give me great peace, great solace. Some places feel holy and special and set apart where I can feel God's closeness. For years, I visited a monastery north of Madison, right around Middleton, north of Lake Mendota, called Holy Wisdom Monastery. It's on the north shore of Mendota. It's a Benedictine retreat center, but it's open to anyone. It's not just for clergy types or supposedly holy people. It's for people, any kind of person who wants to get spiritually reconnected with God in their spiritual journey. And for me, it's one of those holy places. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to put some space between this place and another place in your spiritual life. Sometimes you just have to get away. As much as you love the people, your friends and family that you live with on a daily basis, sometimes you just have to get away and recreate. It's therapeutic, and it doesn't always have to be just you. It doesn't always have to be just you by yourself. I know of at least two groups of guys who this summer have gone or will gone to Canada, will have gone to Canada on a fishing trip. And they like to tell you that they go because the fishing is so great. You know, you're casting in, and every cast you pull out another walleye, and the next walleye is bigger than the first walleye. But I think that's not really the real reason that they go. It's about camaraderie. It's about fellowship and friendship. And I think it's about discovering and rediscovering what really is important in life. Sometimes you have to move from your regular daily activities and daily location and even daily people to find out that, hey, they are really, those people are really, really, really important in my life. Those are the people whom I love, and they love back to me. And sometimes you've got to go to another place, often with another group of people, to reaffirm those priorities. And Jesus does that today in the gospel text. He says to his disciples, they've been on a mission trip, they come back home, they tell him all these fantastic things, but he can tell they're worn out, they're tired. And he says, so come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. First thing is, sometimes you've just got to get away. The second thing is, a new place can be very important. Sometimes even Jesus needed to go to another place to get away by himself, even from his friends, the disciples. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus early on, Matthew chapter 4, learns that his cousin and friend John the Baptist has been executed. And the gospel says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place all by himself. Jesus modeled this kind of self-care, finding a quiet place alone, a place to refocus, a place to regroup, a place to rebuild his life during those times it was necessary. So if Jesus needed to get some distance and separate himself to another place, maybe you and I might need to consider that as well. We have several other instances of Jesus getting away by himself, especially in the mountains. He must have liked the mountains because in the Gospels there's at least 9 different places recorded or times recorded when Jesus went away by himself. And one of those places where he was praying, he actually took 3 of his disciples to show them what happens when you go to those special places. He was transfigured, the gospel says, before John and Peter and James. They saw Jesus in his glory. Sometimes I wonder if his affinity for being in the mountains came from his knowledge of the Psalms. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where comes my help? And the next verse answers it immediately, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Maybe Jesus needed to get up high on those mountains to remind himself of God's glory above him and looking down at all the earth below. That's where Jesus found his place to be close to God. A new place can be life-giving. Many pastors, including myself, sometime need to get out of the office to focus, especially when it's the 11th hour of sermon writing. We need to think clearly without interruption. And one of my favorite spots is a spot not too many people would go to on their time away. It's a library, and it's the library at Neshota House Seminary. It's not too far away, but it's just different enough of an environment and quiet enough that it helps me to be productive. Now, like I said, very few people go someplace to spend time in a library, but there's a few strange people like me around. What I would suggest, though, if you've never been to Neshota House Seminary, you ought to go over there, take a little hour field trip. It's not that far away. It's kind of tucked away, secluded by itself, especially if you love English things and English architecture. It's an Anglican or Episcopal seminary. Their library is great, but their chapel is even more wonderful, at least I think. And it's right there in our backyard. A new place can be life-giving. A new place can be a place where you find Jesus, where you encounter our Lord. I like to call it a Jesus spot or a Jesus location. Jesus himself knew the importance of having special places where he could connect and reconnect with God, with his Father. Mark's gospel tells us, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. I guess I've got fishing on my brain because I've got another fishing story. Maybe you know that fishermen have their favorite spot to fish. And fishermen will never share with you their favorite spot to fish. I've got a friend like that up north, and he loves to go fishing. And I watch him in the evening after supper. He takes off in his boat, and he heads out across the lake over the horizon. And a couple, 3 hours later, it's dark, and I see him coming back with his running lights on. And several times I've asked him, Bob, where do you go? Where is that spot? And he's like, oh, no. I'm never going to tell you my favorite spot. And I don't know if it's because he catches muskies there all the time or what, but I think it's more than that. I think it's his place of peace where he can go by himself in the twilight at the sunset and enjoy his quiet time alone. Do you have a spot like that? Not just for fishing, but for our Lord, for Jesus, a Jesus spot where you can encounter our Lord. Years ago in one of my other churches, I had a congregant named Helen Bell, one of our members there, and I would come and visit her home with communion, and Helen was a wonderful, spirit-filled little lady. She was about 4 feet 9 inches tall, and when I got there, she would invite me to come to the very rear of her home where she had a screened-in porch, and she would proudly say, Pastor, this is my prayer room. It was her Jesus spot right there in her house. She had some Bibles there and lots of devotionals, and that's where she found her time to be praying with Jesus. Do you have a spot like that, a Jesus spot? It doesn't have to be miles away. Might be in your backyard. Might be on your favorite bike route. If you're a golfer, it might be when you're out golfing on the golf course. Golfers tell me they have places like that where you can worship God in nature. So much of finding God, it seems to me, especially this time of the year, is where we can be outside in nature and encountering God. We like to travel to places that help us to do that. Maybe it's the seashore, the coast. Maybe it's a place like Yellowstone National Park or Yosemite or some place like that. Whatever it is, I'd invite you to consider, what is that place? Where is that place for you? I am fortunate, speaking of backyards, that I have a wonderful backyard, and I enjoy being there. I love to watch, especially this time of the year, things grow. And right now, thankfully, I've used enough liquid fence that my hostas are still coming up. The deer haven't got them all, and they're blooming, and it's great. And the hydrangeas are blooming, those beautiful big white globes of flowers. I love it. You know, one of the great things about living here where we live is we get to experience how God changes the seasons and moves, how the weather goes and what the climate is like, and how God set up plans to reveal the very special beauty of nature as every single season comes and goes. Find your Jesus place. Now, I don't want to get too weird here, but there's also a very special place that we can go to that you don't have to leave the room or go anywhere to be in, and that's right here, finding Jesus in your mind, in your heart. Jesus, one day when he was in prayer, his disciples were watching him, and they were kind of studying what he was doing when he was praying, and finally when he was done, they had permission to speak, I guess, and they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." How do you do that? How do you get connected with God? You would have thought by then they would have known, but they needed to ask, and Jesus needed to teach verbally. And you know what he said. He said, "When you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven." Jesus taught them that prayer is connecting with God wherever you are, focusing on God no matter what place you find yourself in. Prayer is about that place where our minds go when we talk with God, and it can happen anywhere. And there are lots of helps to get us started with that, drawing our minds into closeness with God. We've got a couple of those helps right here in the little pamphlet holder next to the office behind the Welcome Center. There's one called The Upper Room. There's one called Christ in Our Home. They are there for you. They are free. If you don't have one, if you're looking for things to get yourself focused, these are great tools. And I'm kind of struck by the point that both of them are focused on a place, Christ in Our Home and the Upper Room. The ultimate holy place is the place that we are headed. We call that place eternity. We call that place heaven. But I'm not planning on getting there too soon, and I hope you aren't either. Let's stick around for a while. Jesus said about heaven, he said this, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again, I'll take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." 2 years ago, our grandson Tyson died. He was just 4 months old. He's buried in our church cemetery. It's called St. Luke's, northwest of here. It's a beautiful place on a hill outside the Rock River in the country. And when I visit, I like to think about where Tyson really is. He's not there, but he's in heaven. And of course, I know that. And I talk to him anyway, and I tell him how much I love him, and I thank God at that place for giving Tyson to us to know and to love as a gift for us in those 4 short months. And when I'm at St. Luke's Cemetery, I look out at the beauty of creation, the beauty of nature that God has made in that particular place. I listen to the birds, and I watch the clouds in the sky, and I touch his headstone, and I really feel the presence of God in that place. Now, there's one thing, if I could change about St. Luke's, I would change in a heartbeat right now, is the mosquitoes. There's just too many mosquitoes out there at St. Luke's Cemetery. You got to go when they're not there. God promises that someday you and I are going to be reunited with those loved ones in the faith, and more especially with Jesus himself in this other place, this heavenly, eternal dwelling place. And Jesus promises there will be the experience for us of great joy. What is it about a holy place, a special place, a place which seems to be filled with the presence of God? It's because where Jesus is there, where God is present, we, you and I, are filled with hope. The presence of our Lord brings us hope. And hope brings us courage. It brings us security for the present, for the future. We understand brand new that God really is in charge. God really is in control. And we can trust and rest assured that God will always be present with us. My prayer is that you discover or remember that place where you find God's presence, that Jesus spot, and be blessed by meeting God in that holy place. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Gracious Lord, you are God of heaven and earth. You are God of the universe. And the universe, heaven and earth, is full of your presence. We pray that you give us eyes to see and hearts to feel you, especially at those times when we need you the most, wherever that might be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.